The shadows hold more than darkness. They hold the truth. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Karen Reed, well, her retrial is set for January, but as of now, there's going to be another one. We don't know when yet, a civil case being brought against her, unless, of course, it settles. We don't know what exactly if that will happen. Joining me to discuss the civil case being brought against her by the family of John O'Keefe, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast, Defense Diaries. Any surprise that a civil case being brought by the family on this?
No, not at all. You know, I know there's chatter on both sides of the thing, but sure. I mean, the one thing that was evident from that trial that was like crystal clear is that Karen Reed drank a lot at that bar, you know, and I mean, like the dram shop laws exist for a reason, which is essentially that, look, you know, if you overserve your customers and they go out and injure somebody, that you're going to be on the hook. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised. I have a feeling it was filed now because the statute of limitations was getting close to running, which is, I believe, in Massachusetts, 3 years. Mm-hmm. I guess the only part of it that's interesting is that they also include Reed in there, basically coming after her for, you know, what they consider to be perpetrating this fraud.
Yeah.
In terms of bringing forth this conspiracy theory that they say has caused them massive emotional distress.
Yeah.
You know,
and all that's after the fact, you know, like it has nothing to do with the murder. It's like, look, you participated in this, whether you started it or not, or just went along with, you know, Nut Boy, you know, that wanted to go and rally a bunch of people up for his own narcissistic well-being. You didn't calm this down. You didn't do anything responsible of like, hey, let's not attack family members. These are his family. Thousand things she could have said, because it wasn't like she was shying away from the media.
Right. That, like 100%. I mean, like, so, I mean, the suit could have legs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you never know with like dram shop and the kind of the intentional infliction of emotional distress charges is, or count, you know, those can be tough to prove. What's really going to be interesting is that both sides of this get to do discovery, which in a mm-hmm. civil case means you get to have depositions. Mm-hmm. And depositions are typically no holds barred. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have your attorney there and then you know, they can object to questions. But typically, in when I'm doing a dep, if I have my client ask an objectionable question, I'll say, okay, well, I'm going to object, but I still allow them to answer sometimes, depending on what it is. And if it gets to the point where you object and the other says, all right, well, you know, I want to certify the question because I'm going to bring it to the judge and I'm going to ask the judge if they have to answer it. So, mm-hmm. The depositions are going to be really interesting in this. You know, it's like both warring sides are like, oh, they're going to find everything out at the depositions. Like everything's going to come out at the depths, and it might. I mean, yeah. Like the depositions are always a tool that are very powerful in civil cases.
Can the depositions be used in the criminal case? Can that be used as evidence if something comes out here before her retrial that helps or hurts her, either way?
Oh yeah, it's sworn testimony.
All there,
depositions are sworn testimony.
So we could really see if this gets underway before that that retrial for the criminal case. We could really see a different trial depending on what comes out of those depositions.
Yeah, for sure. But like, here's what the reality of the situation is. I believe they had to get the complaint filed before the statute runs. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you blow a statute of limitations on a civil suit, you're done mm-hmm. by one day. There is no wiggle room. You blow the statute by, you know, like I said, one day, and you lose the ability to be able to sue. So I think what will happen ultimately, and we've seen it in some other cases. I was trying to remember recently there was a case that there was a big criminal case going on. And there was a civil case going on as well. And I imagine what's going to happen is due to, you know, her Fifth Amendment right to remain silent about things, that they'll go in and the depths probably won't start. The discovery portion of that won't start until after the criminal trial is completed. Because a lot of times, if it's that big of an issue, the judges are typically inclined, and especially, I mean, civil cases take years.
Does the state have any interest then in saying, let's push back the case to let that happen? Do they have any authority to do something like that in the interest of getting more information before the trial?
I don't think so. Okay. I think Canone is going to keep them, stuck to the, because nothing's changing, right? I mean, there's no, factually, there's not going to be any, they're not going to be able to come in with, well, we need more time to prepare, or we need time to hire an expert, or, whatever happens, it's not going to be sufficient enough for Canone to say, yeah, I'm going to grant you a continuance. So I don't think so. Like, I just think that a lot of the discovery that will actually take place will be after the fact. I know that I don't know who her civil lawyers are. And the question then becomes, will her insurance carrier cover it? Mm-hmm. Whether it be, because there's two different aspects to it. There's, the aspect that she was drinking and driving, which, carriers, if it's intentional acts, the carriers are typically say, you're on your own. Like,
you did this. Yeah. This was your choice.
Yeah. But that'll be interesting. So there's going to be a lot going on with that as well. Like on the civil side of it, like, are they turning down coverage? Or are they denying coverage? Is she going to have to hire her own attorney? Does she have any money left to do it?
Yeah.
So all those things are going to be taking place. And then on top of that, once the complaint's filed, they have 30 days, all the parties have 30 days to file an answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that really just gets the ball rolling. And then typically there's another, gap in time before what they call interrogatories are sent out. And those are written questions where you're trying to, and you do all that in preparation for depositions. Mm-hmm. You get the paper discovery, the documentation that you're looking to get through a production request, and then you're also sending the interrogatories out. So those things they take time.
Yeah.
I know everybody was losing their minds yesterday about, oh, this is all going to come out before trial. The reality of just the kind of the mechanics of a civil case. I assuming that the trial date is still going to be in January, I don't think any of this will happen. And if they try to push it, I think that the attorneys, whoever's repping Reed, will go in and fight it and say, look, this isn't much of a delay. We don't want to affect the criminal case by something that she may say in a deposition. Yeah. So we're just asking that, you kick the date down the road a little bit so that depths happen after the criminal case.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.